and in truth. That means that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit as we hear the truth of God's Word taught. So it is our custom to have a few moments of silent prayer, and during that time it gives us the opportunity to name to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy Father, we're thankful that you are our God. We recognize that all blessings come from you. Every good and perfect gift is from the Father of lights. We thank you for your faithfulness, for your word that lives and abides forever, that refreshes us, that sets our foot on the solid rock. We don't have to go through life in confusion. Indeed, we can have the confidence that God wants every one of his children to have. And we pray that you will help us to concentrate on the message this morning. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we are honored to have George Mueller and his lovely wife, Erica, here this morning. And George is going to come and speak to us. He's a missionary from the Cameroon, which is in Central Africa, as well as in Germany. They are just fascinating people. It's just a joy to be around them, and their lives are so interesting. So I hope that you will give your full attention to what George has to say this morning, and I'm not going to take any more of his time. So, George, if you'll come.
As people change, times change, things change, yet the grace of God changes not. So we are here this morning because of the grace of God, and every believer can make a contribution to history because of the grace of God. Perhaps our Lord Jesus Christ, who controls history, gives us another extension of the grace of God. That's his business. Well, I'm coming from Burton this morning. I didn't even know it was on a map. And next week, Friday, November 5th, we fly from Houston to Germany and then continuing to Cameroon, Africa. And so that you wouldn't get sidetracked, who is that guy, Burton, Germany, Africa, I'm throwing in a little bit here and there so you don't get sidetracked and think, well, he should give us a little bit more of personal information. Well, thank you, Pastor, Teacher Mike Smith, to stand here in your pulpit this morning. It is a great privilege and a great, great responsibility. Of course, spending 37 years in Africa, where one goes by rainy season and dry season, is quite a risk, you know, to have invited me. But I know there's a deadline. I have to be there on Friday, so I wouldn't miss the flight. And by the way, you know, when I go there to the airport, I'm not going to invite the Northwest airliner into my life. I wouldn't make it. So if somebody maybe is here who has invited Jesus into his heart, that's not enough. You can correct that. And it is wonderful to go by the Word of God. We have to always go by the Word of God. But these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Now that's the wonderful gospel. So, by the way, you can be born again before we go on this quick trip now. Matter of fact, we have to go on a trip to Africa. So salvation is very simple. Thinking about an airliner, you step in. It's really another illustration of faith. Well, we want to go on a trip all the way to Cameroon this morning. And, well, isn't that wonderful? We don't have a religion, we have a relationship. That's what I've been communicating up there in Burton in that little cafe of the Bürgermeister. Met all kinds of interesting people. Yes, the other day I met three at different times Lutheran pastors, and they were interested. My accent says I wasn't born here. Well, I said, yes, we are Americans made in Germany. And then right away we talked about the issue, Martin Luther. Oh, yes, I said, I love Martin Luther right now. He's in heaven already. And he discovered the book of Romans and became a believer, faith alone in Christ alone. Because I had to be a little German, I had to tell, you know, you don't go to heaven by being a member of the Lutheran Church, huh? And they said, ho, 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 ho. Well, anyhow, we can't lose any time, but I say, you know, I have a deadline Friday morning. But this is where we are going to travel this morning. So, by the way, fellowship is so interesting. At this time, yeah, we are 7 hours behind. At this time, exactly, they are meeting in a local church, the Upper Room Fellowship in Belo. You know what they do for 1 John 1:9? They sing it. Luther, listen up, and burst your resin now. Who can know we who saw some more? Put your sin burst your resin now. Who lines your resin now? And then the pastor teacher said, some more. And he looked around. It seems to be like one deacon left in this direction, his wife left the other direction. So maybe he said, Lord, the woman you gave me. And they said, let's sing once more. Leave on song. Well, yes, it's good to be reminded. Very simple, but it's an absolute. You know, God is not pragmatic. All the politicians are pragmatic, especially one. They can say yes and no at the same time, and out of every argument they come like a smelling Texas rose. And I don't like it. And God is not pragmatic. Well, as I say, we want to go on that trip and to throw in a few little personal things in there. Yes, 40 years ago, we became citizens of the United States. So we turned in our German passport. Matter of fact, I voted for the first time, but that's another story. And then I worked in consulting engineering in Houston, and somebody took me to church. Took me to the church, the Rocket Church. And there we found what we were looking for. And actually, at that time, maybe I illustrated. I was seeing 40 years ago some interesting little thing. Are you willing to sign a blank piece of paper and permit the Lord to put in the details regarding your life? Now, don't sign a blank piece of paper and give it to a man, huh? But even believer. First, it is a man who trusts in man. But it's a tremendous image. You and I, can we give something to God? No, but we can give him our trust. Now, some people I invited in Burton, they told me they got another big fundraising thing. I said, going on this morning, I said, God is not poor, he doesn't need your money. I told one Jewish man he should take his wife for a date, come here this morning. I guess he didn't show up. Well, our trip to Africa. Yeah, it started 40 years ago. It's a long time. And in 65, we went to Germany because even though we were both born in Germany, I was born in Germany, and Erika, my wife, she was born in East Prussia, that's Königsberg. And the Russians conquered that whole area, and that is an interesting story. They had to flee thousands and thousands of German citizens. They were drowned in the Baltic Sea. Well, but my wife ended up in Chicago. And I came to Chicago in 57, so it's a small place to meet people, you know. And, all right, that's for, you know, filling in the details. So we had to go home to show ourselves to home to Germany, which was at our our home before, and it was no longer our home. Of course, we all going or are on our way to final promotion. Isn't that wonderful to have a home? I told the other day, the Bürgermeister, I said, it's wonderful you're a believer. Maybe you're going to be neighbors up there. So we have a reality which is leading us. It has nothing to do with people. So in 1965, of course, we had already one son, Martin, and everybody was happy to meet him. Now in 1966, we heard that a mission was looking for a civil engineer to build a linguistic center in Enugu, Nigeria. Now, Enugu, Nigeria, that is way down here. See, yes, Nigeria, and next to it is Cameroon. You see it on the map. And Enugu is a big city in the southern part of Nigeria. And we made ourselves available for 18 months. And of course, if you tell the Lord it's 18 months, you know, that might not be the final word. So are you willing to sign a blank piece of paper? And yes, you can go to Africa, of course, in about 6 hours with an airplane, which I'm going to do. You can also take a ship around here. It takes about 10 days. We did that once before. But I want to take you on a trip going from Germany to Africa in a pickup, a Volkswagen pickup. So we had it all prepared to sleep and to cook. I guess the only one who really liked it was Martin. So we took a whole load. We left Germany, all right. Up here is Germany, Berlin. There's Vienna, where the Muslims got beaten. I don't know whether I get to that. Budapest. So we drove down here and brought a whole load of Christian literature to Beirut, which is right here in the Middle East. By the way, at that time there were missionaries all over the place. And we went on to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was under Muslim rule at that time. As a matter of fact, we received our visa for Egypt in Jerusalem. And of course, one year later, 1967, that changed at all, the situation. But it was very interesting to be with the Muslim people in Bethlehem. They are great people, but they have hospitality. If you have a neighbor who doesn't know much about the Quran, he will be the most wonderful person. You can go over, borrow a hammer any time. Maybe he gives you even $5. But once they read this satanic stuff, it's going to be dangerous. Well, to illustrate the point, well, you get sidetracked. You're still not on that trip to Africa yet. I tell you, oh boy, I love it. You know, we go by time. It's really right. But the Muslims are impressed when you tell them about eternal security. Once a child, always a child. It's going to listen to you. So take the opportunity. This is our hope, because otherwise they're going to be, there's a potential danger in this country. And we are happy that we fight them a little bit out there. I don't want to tell the people, I don't want like that fight, that fighting in Burton going on. Would be a little close. So, yes, there's a chance to respond to the gospel, and I have several interesting illustrations concerning that. And that is called, of course, the hope. Well, it continued. All right, we are now leaving Jerusalem behind with our visa to Egypt. And we wanted to go through the Sudan here, down here, but we couldn't get a visa. At that time, it was already a different, difficult place. The other day I told some black people here, I said, you know where Africa is? Oh yes, down there, somewhere, yeah. I said, have you thanked the Lord that you were born here? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Quite a few are. And I had wonderful talks with them. I said, you better keep praying for the Christians in Africa. There are Muslims out there, they want to go to heaven, they kill Jews and Christians to get there. Is that true? That's satanic. So as soon as they read this stuff, they are dangerous. Well, so we couldn't go there. We followed the Mediterranean coastline, and we ended up here in Tripolis. And there you see something which surprises you, Wilos Air Force Base. What's that? You know, in 1966, we had a Wilos Air Force Base in Tripolis. And then Gaddafi got in. We should have said, Gaddafi, you want our base? Come and get it. But we left Tripolis. Too bad. Now, what was interesting in Tripolis, we were traveling and through the town, and there was a sign, Tripolis Bible Church. Oh, yes, there was Tripolis Bible Church. We found out there were some wonderful American soldiers sponsoring it, and people got saved left and right in Tripolis. Well, I remember that was a fascinating illustration of grace to meet those Air Force people in the evening. As a matter of fact, their pastor was gone on leave for America. And they made me for 2 weeks pastor of Tripolis Bible Church. Hey, that would be a good thing for me, huh? If I come back for a job, yeah. And in the evening, we met with these people. But we had serious talks, and I said, if we allow ourselves as American people here to be kicked out, pressured out of Wheeler's Air Force Base, the poor will no longer hear the gospel. And that's exactly what happened. Because during that time in 1966, there were missionaries all over the place. By the way, I made an African deal with our GIs. I said, okay, I'm going to be pastor of Tripolis Bible Church, and you're going to change the oil on my vehicle and see that everything is fine for the Sahara crossing. And they did. So that was a good deal. Well, we said goodbye, and I lost all their addresses. Well, so what? The Lord knows them. And we left this wonderful place and went down south. Well, as I say, crossing the Sahara Desert, there's no traffic problem. I didn't see a single traffic light. And you have a lot of room to roam around. In matter of fact, I learned it the hard way, and there are little rocks sticking out, then you have good surfacing. If they are not there, you better watch. So we got stuck one time. That's when I give a chance to Martin, our 6-year-old. I gave him the biggest sand docks in the world. You do something for your kids, eh? But crossing, the Sahara Desert also gives you an illustration. As a matter of fact, there's only one way to make it, the right way. So if you're going on the wrong way or you miss it, we left Tripolis up to Msala and Taman Rasa. As I say, you've got to see, you have to watch for the markers to stay on the right road, on the right direction. Then we reached on a Saturday night. Taman Rasset is a place, it's in the middle of the Sahara Desert. Well, there were maybe 500 people and two or three water holes. That's what an oasis is. And some wild people driving their camels. And on Sunday morning, like this one, well, that was about this time, we thought, well, maybe there are some Christians here. And we were told, they were not very friendly. As that's what the rest of the people think about us, huh? You know, we are the overwhelming minority. Don't get tired. That's all what the Lord has. And these are the only people who made it through Adolf Hitler. You never know what the Lord has for us. So here in Taman Raset, we found a missionary who had been there for 25 years with his wife. Now, Pastor Mike, I think for going to the Sahara Desert, you would have needed a double call, huh? And he ended up, they didn't want to give him water. He ended up outside on the oasis, and the Lord provided the best water for him. He had an interesting story for 25 years. And in his home, there were 7 Tuareg people. Now, the Tuareg people are some wild Muslim people. But the Lord knew they needed the gospel. Why? Because they would say yes. So they responded to the good news, faith alone in Christ alone. We saw them in his home. Now, that is mission. See? Of course, somebody had to go there. And he was there for 25 years. Well, as I say, there was a remarkable stopover, and we continued again. And, I remember at one time, there was a little bit of a wind blowing, and we lost our markers, and we went into the wrong direction. Well, I mean, most of you believers, if there's any believer here who never went into the wrong direction, don't raise your hand. Part of it, huh? Well, we also went in the wrong direction, of course. I had a responsibility. I became a father. I had a 6-year-old boy. You don't want to let him die in a desert. So, you know, we stopped. If you go in the wrong direction, stop. Come to your senses. We turned around and followed our tracks to the right point of the wrong departure. That's a good picture for a first jumper, right? But a lot of illustrations reminding us of the basics. Well, we reached then the Nigerian border, and then it was time for war. Well, I thought, far in heaven, if we had gone through war in Europe, I don't know what I was doing coming to Africa in time for war. Well, the people, the conflict started really between the Muslim tribes and the southern Igbo tribes and the related people of the south. And it was just beginning to get into a momentum. Well, but I remember, well, we always had our little camping stove out. We took it out because they were checking all our papers. And, of course, we, you know, time for food. I think there was still some wonderful steaks from the missionary from Taman Raset we hadn't used. Yeah, the Lord had good supply there. And we fixed our stakes, whatever it was. And of course, you know, you ask the Lord to bless it. And then someone at the custom house saw it, and he came quietly, just wait and do nothing until the our ones are gone. He was a believer. He did his job. I think this is always our reality. It's always something. So we got our stamp and we could then go in the direction of Enugu. Actually, it was really forbidden to go into Enugu, but we made it anyhow. And then we saw all the refugees on the way. We didn't know what was going on. Some were badly beaten and lost their limbs. So we reached Enugu, and then that was the place I was supposed to build the linguistic center. And the director told me, well, they didn't have any land yet. Well, I never have you ever heard to build something without a piece of property? Well, you know, some strange things are happening on the mission field. So that was my first little disappointment, and for a German, too easy to take, you know. And then I was coming all the way now to build here, and you tell me, oh yeah, then there was a big man coming to town, and I made a joke, and I said, you know, we can make it a cornerstone already, and put it in the rear bar, and then the big man comes to town, we can have already the cornerstone blessed. You know, you sort of put the cart before the horse, huh? Now that is pragmatism. And pragmatism shouldn't be used by the Christian, but they use it all the time. Well, anyhow, but what was so wonderful, among the many refugees who came from the north, there was one wonderful pastor teacher, Mike. And he had an Igbo mother and an Italian father. He became a believer of the Equa churches in connection with the Sudan Interior Mission. And he also had to flee. Now, if you had 5 minutes to pack, what would you take today? You know what he took? He took the Schaeffer's books on theology along. Wasn't that something? Pastor Mike, I think he made a good choice. So I met him in Enugu, and he reached there with a handful of refugees. And then the SIM bookshop manager wanted to build a bookshop in Enugu. Well, I said, you know, I give you free engineering supervision of this building, but you have to build a second story for the church. Well, I said, there are no people. I said, there will be more people. Also, I said, if you put a concrete ceiling on top of your bookshop, it will be safe. No one will go and steal your books. Well, he didn't say anything, and then he said yes. Of course, he didn't have any choice because, you know, I didn't want any money for it. So we built this bookshop, and Pastor Mike used the upper room. And then, the war became nearer and nearer, and there was this conflict in Nigeria. But I finished the project in time, and we had to leave. We had to leave Enugu one day. Well, Enugu, as I say, this is a southern place. Actually, that became the capital of Biafra. If somebody wants to study that, it's about 66, 67. Then some people wanted to be alone, left alone, and they called themselves the Republic of Biafra, but nobody recognized it. So there was a great conflict. And one day the war came to Enugu. They were shelling Enugu. So we had to leave. And I still remember all the cars zipping down to the south to Port Harcourt because they said there's an English ship. Takes you all out. Well, you know, when you do something what everybody's doing, are you now going to ask if that's the right thing? You always do what everybody's doing, huh? Isn't that the philosophy now, today? You do what everybody is doing. Now, you have some young people. No, you are not. Even though you might be all alone. So what? You have to die all alone. You might as well learn to live alone. Well, so we were in that crowd. And there was a sign, Cameroon, 120 miles. So we stopped. And if you don't know where you're going, you better stop. It's not a lost time. So we didn't do anything. Well, we had a little prayer. You were in fellowship. And then we didn't do what everybody was doing. Everybody was going this way. We weren't going that way. Actually, we were going towards the fighting. Well, I still remember that evening, we were middle in the bush. There was an American camp building the new road. And Mr. Moss was a Jewish man that was a Jewish company. And then all his people had run away, and when he heard that I was an engineer, well, he did it a Jewish way. George, this is $500 to get started. We didn't have a penny. So we had $500. It was a lot of money. And he gave us a bungalow with all the air conditioning and a steward and all the food you could eat. I guess Martin still remembered we were listening to Mr. Abraham, who was telling fascinating stories about the Old Testament. Of course, when they realized I was born in Germany, I said, now, look, Mr. Most, my people, our family, my in-laws and my own father and mother, they were believers in Jesus Christ. They didn't hate the Jews. So we became good friends. And actually, he wanted to bribe me several times. He said, hey, Josh, I mean, you got this kind of an idea for mission. I had to forget this nonsense. Well, it was a little tempting. But one day we had to leave after all, because our son was, Peter was on his way. If he would have been born in Biafra, he would have been born in a country which wouldn't even exist today. I don't know, that might have been a little bit of a problem to get an American passport, I don't know. So we left, but Mr. Moss said, well, you know what, George? I have to go to Cameroon to smuggle in some caterpillar parts, because I need them, and you're going to help me with it. Oh, well, that was a good missionary assignment, huh? Hey, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly. So I still remember Mr. Most was traveling with a four-wheel Ford. And I was following behind, and in between we had an Impala, because Mr. Most said, your wife is not going to go in those building side trucks. So we had an Impala with a wonderful driver. I don't know, that might be the last trip of the Impala, because we really went on rough roads. But that's where Erica was sitting in. So we had first class. And we reached Cameroon. Ah, that was interesting. On one stopover, there came a Dutch doctor, and he wanted to know, Jewish people are always good getting all the information. They're great people. So the Dutch doctor told him about it, and I quickly said, he spoke German, I said, do you know a place, where you can have a baby in Cameroon? Oh, sure, you see my friend, the Swiss doctor, Emmanuel. Well, we on a little while with Mr. Most in front, and I'm driving behind, and in the middle of the Impala, and he was calling me over the phone and said, hey, George, do you know where you're going? Yeah, I'm going to Manjiman Hospital. You're going to Cameroon. You go down, turn the road to Kumba. He said, I'm damn, I didn't know you knew what you were doing. Well, that was interesting. So we reached Cameroon, and well, yes, our second son was born. His middle name is Yachin. That is, I think it is the second pillar in Salomo's temple. Yachin means God makes you stable. And that's our reality. And you get it through teaching and repetition. And that is marvelous, that you also belong to the overwhelming minority here. Well, Peter was born, and then we met a missionary whom we knew from here, from America. I mean, that's the reason the other day, the Baptist Church in Greenwine, they invited me. And that missionary is now with the Lord, and he came and said, can you come up to the Com people up and build a drinking water pipeline. He had a missionary conference and there was missionary offering. I said, yeah, I think I need a break. And I was father again, you know, responsibilities. So we went to the northwest province, that's way up. It's a beautiful area. It's about 5,000 feet high. We built this drinking pipeline project for the people. Now here we met for the first time the Kom people. Now in the meantime I had learned the Pidgin English already. They used Pidgin English there, but also the vernacular. And every morning there was a Bible class. That was pretty good, and I participated. And little by little, I found out that for righteousness, their idea was to be upright. You never had any police record. Oh, would that cut it? All our uprightnesses are like filthy rags. So we thought we had to stay a little bit longer. Oh, for grace, that was interesting. Yes, you know, when the Catholic priest came and said, may the grace of God be with you. And then the turn talker, he understood grass. So may the weeds of God be with you. Now, I know we couldn't live by the weeds of God. Of course, we have weeds still, you know. But the grace of God has to be understood. Now, 1 John 1:9, there is something. God forgets if you give. Oh, the Catholics liked it. The Baptists liked it too, because they're always short in their treasury, you know. So God forgets if you give. So we thought we had to stay a little longer to find the word for righteousness. We found it. And our teaching is the holy brightness from the source of God. See, I can now step into the light. He has called us out of darkness. You step into the light by faith. That's a good picture. And now we are reflecting, but you know that my skin, what the Africans say, doesn't shine. Huh? But I'm reflecting. Now that is a good picture for salvation. And for grace, we say the shining giving of God. And the more you use it, the more you get it. But it is marvelous. And of course, God is not forgetting if we give. We have nothing to give. You and I can give God absolute nothing. But we can reflect. That's the whole teaching of the grace of God. And we say, of course, God wipes out. So we stayed longer. And that's the reason why, you know, 18 minus now we have 37 years. Huh? A little bit longer on the beat there, and tonight here we are in Brenham. Huh? Brenham Country Bible Church. We didn't realize that. It's wonderful. The Lord always has a surprise. And we must say the local church is very important. And what began around the kitchen table is now a local church, the Upper Room Fellowship. And we look forward to be back with them soon. I mean, every local church has some aching and growing pains. It's nothing new. And I think if you clearly present the issues from the Word of God, there will be also enemies coming out. I say the rats come out of the little holes. So that's part of our struggle, but we can enjoy the struggle because the Lord already has won the victory. So that is unique. So that place here, I ended up there from driving to Nigeria and leaving Nigeria then. We came to Cameroon and we really wanted to be there for a stopover, and yet we are still there. And it will be wonderful to see the people. In the meantime, we have translated the scripture. We have here what we call the Old Market Study and Teach Edition. Yes, it's right here, where we have the Book of Romans and different doctrines and so on. That's marvelous. Well, who is the timekeeper here? Well, Oh, yeah, no, thank you. Oh, I'm glad Peter started reading it. Eh? Good. Well, it will be a great pleasure to be back. I mean, I'm very much at home there. You know, if you don't have a sense of humor, don't ever go to Africa. But you know what I found in Africa? What I planned was really important. What I didn't plan. But so this might be refreshing from the from Africa. See, we learned the language. Oh, my wife was pretty good, you know. Since I was doing building, I wanted to, you know, in building, you always, these can see something quickly. You start learning a language, you don't see anything for a long time. If you kick yourself. But learning the language is important. And you have to communicate in the language of the people. It's wonderful that we have different gifts and different people can do that. But what is fascinating here, maybe this is going to be an encouragement to you, we found out the people there, they had not a 7-day week, they had an 8-day week. See, that's the reason I like to go back. I always have one more day per week. Well, yeah, I said everything is relative, what we have. I love it. I like it over here in America. It's still relative compared to heaven, compared to the principles of the Word of God. Well, we are reminded of our limitation. But here in this diary, it became real since 1971. We started printing it and always print it again. And here we have the importance of the Word of God. Yes. God gave his word. Now, if I would say that, now, if a fool man, he wouldn't win, he wouldn't understand. Now, I wouldn't speak in tongues. No, I learned that language. God gave his word. So he's the author. You realize that in the word author, there is a word authority. And that's the biggest problem today, authority. Always tell children, look, you have wonderful Christian parents. Remember, your parents will be always your best friends. I mean, today in this generation to grow up, going to school, is a terrific challenge. Let's pray for our kids, when they are believers in Jesus Christ. So, God gave his word. Well, but these have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The word of God shows the salvation of God very clearly. Some people talk about salvation, but they seem to miss it completely. You know, regarding many issues. People must recognize the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. The Bible is inspired by God and has power. The Word of God is absolute truth. We are living in a time of relative truth. There is a tremendous conflict today. And that's where many Christians completely missing it. That's why many Christians are miserable. More miserable than the heathens. At least they get some fun out of it. So the Word of God is absolute truth. The Word of God is the sword of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God is fire and a hammer. The Word of God is the lamp and the light. The Word of God is milk. That's a question of nourishment. Of course, you know, if you don't feed your soul, well, there always have to be made decisions. Remember that believers in Jesus Christ have two powers, God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God. It's always marvelous that the Lord sees you. You're going to be delivered. You and I are going to meet in heaven. And all hell can change it. Well, this is what we continue to teach, and the people there also teach, even today. The Word of God is my protection. The Word of God overcomes Satan. The Word of God gives light and gives wisdom. The Word of God keeps on giving me inner joy. That inner joy has nothing to do if anything else. Well, no, this is the day the Lord has made. No? Overwhelming happiness in operation. It can happen. It's a little bit of heaven. So God gives peace. Well, we certainly need that in the days to come, whatever the Lord has. And because of this, hear the word of God, the volition. Because of this, see and know the word of God. Look a little closer. Because of this, obey the word of God. Because of this, keep on studying the word of God. You're going to be sidetracked. There are going to be some other priorities creeping in. Some of priorities that might even look a little pious. Speak the word of God. Well, we have to reality. You know, you don't have to sit there and come up with some new thing. Say what God already has thought through. Speak the word of God. And finally, the word of God shall judge. Isn't that also a comforting thing? Reality. So, as you say, I'm happy that at this time even Pastor Teacher and Psalm Jacob, he is there. By the way, he is reminding the people in Africa. Oh yeah, we have arrived, didn't we? Okay, we better turn off the engine. By the way, you know, going into an airplane is also a picture of faith, isn't it? You trust somebody where he's going. Always use that. You step in. And Pastor Teacher and Psalm Jacob, you know, going to an airplane is also a picture of faith, isn't it? You trust somebody where he's going. Always use that. You step in. And Pastor Teacher and Psalm Jacob of the Upper Room Fellowship, he tells again and again, people, look, those blocks there, that's not the church. But you are the believer, you. So that's important to know, talking about the spiritual building that Jesus Christ is the builder, foundation and cornerstone. That's our reality. Think for a moment, he's the builder, yes. By the way, Jesus Christ is Lord of history, this firm confidence. Confidence is our hope. The hope of glory, the blessed hope, hope as an anchor, and finally the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Isn't it wonderful that certain things the Lord never turns over to somebody else? He's doing it himself. Well, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ is the builder, and the Lord added to the number daily those who were being saved. And our Lord is the foundation, for no one can lay any other foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what he has been teaching from Jacob in Africa. Our Lord is also the cornerstone, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. 1 Peter 2:6. But remember, our Lord rejected all that material, not only for salvation, you know. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, Ephesians 2:1. Yes, he performed for you and me as a believer in Jesus Christ, instantly a miracle. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Then we need knowledge how to do it. You know, in that whole building, there's no room for any dead material. I already know that every promise is as good as the one who gives it. It's always a great comfort. And that is the reason when the Lord said, this is what the Lord says, cursed is the one who trusts in man. Jeremiah 17:5. Well, man could be an unbeliever, could also be a believer. So there is our conflict in which we are. Well, as I say, trusting people, maybe that came a little short, but as you know, my accent tells you I was born in Germany. My wife Erika also. And I was either born when Adolf Hitler came to power. So one day in Düsseldorf, the high school was bombed. Well, Adolf Hitler was always good to use anything coming his way, so he made a decision, the whole high school, well, at that time we didn't have any girls, there were only a boys' high school and the girls' high school and the boys' high school. So all the boys had to be moved to Czechoslovakia, and he lived for 2.5 years in a Nazi camp with Nazi teachers. And he trained us for the Adolf Hitler's millennium. Well, thank God it only lasted 12 years, huh? Can you imagine you let your little kiddo go? You don't have a telephone or handy and all that stuff. What is that, email? I know how to spell it. There was no connection. But they went to pray. And you know when my father's prayers were answered? On D-Day. That is the other reality. Jesus Christ controls history. And the overwhelming minority, which is always small, the Lord takes care of them in war or peace, in good times or not so good times, even during election time. So this is our comfort. So well, as I say, communication cannot come short. It has to be said. Now, we are thankful for this unique furlough, whatever it is. We ended up in Burton, started out someplace else. And we are thankful that our youngest son, Eric, has found a wonderful place with brother Martin and mother-in-law Tracy. It's very interesting that I come along. Eric always said, "Dad, if you ask Mom," I don't mind it at all. So he is enjoying the provision. Well, visiting faithful friends came a little bit short. But maybe we are going to be back next year. Of course, we have to be careful, but because what does James 4:13-16 say? Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city. Who are you? So we will be reminded of our limitations even as we go a little bit older, getting closer to final promotion. Well, participating here at home in the never-ending struggle for truth gave us new insight and appreciation for the intensified angelic conflict. Another item what was an answer to prayer, in the last bench here, a gentleman with the red tie, he's a Spanish-speaking communicator, and he is really building up his own flock there in Longview, Kilgore area. Maverick, just stand up there for a minute with your wife or you see him. You can pray for Javier Moreno and his wife. As a matter of fact, I have asked him, here we have some Spanish-speaking people, to give us here at the closing how to go to heaven in Spanish. Oh, he's always ready, in season and out of season. And by the way, when you leave in the morning the house, you better be fellowship. There might be something very important coming up. So you are very important in this conflict. As a matter of fact, if you had a fairly good day yesterday, maybe there was something wrong. You know, sometimes there is blessing in suffering, in testing. I sometimes also say, well, Father in heaven, can't you bless somebody else? Well, keep on enjoying enjoying the conflict because our problem is solved. Oh, one more thing. I got it from Cameroon, Africa. You know, when I got saved, what the Lord had one more problem. Did you ever think about that? When you became a believer in Jesus Christ, you were added one more problem, whatever your name is. But there's a solution. And you know, when I became a believer, and I used that, this Lutherans up there. The other day, some nice Lutheran neighbors. Yeah, I said in 45, there was a wonderful Lutheran pastor, Wilhelm Busch, and he was the greatest evangelist, and he made it clear, and you know, all the Germans were listening because you couldn't hide anywhere because the buildings were all kaput. And he gave the greatest message, faith alone in Christ alone. So I told him again how to go to heaven. So anyhow, this is always, you know, so in a little while we will listen to it in Spanish. Well, you know, the Lord is speaking Spanish too, you know. Oh, he's speaking the calm language. I can give you John 3:16. Of course, people I'm going to see in a month or so, they appreciate it. That's their language. It's important. Now, you've got a hard time if somebody speaking French this morning. How about in German? Oh, yeah, no, it is German. In green wine, you know, they're all German. I think they still on Saturday come out to sweep the highway. Yes. Well, it's interesting too. I never realized I had a lot of interesting acquaintances. So I close my presentation with a favorite verse of our great teacher, Colonel Thien. From Jude, a short book exhorting us to heed divine teaching, ends with this marvelous legacy. Did I pronounce it right? Legacy. It's yours. What does it say? To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. And amen means in the vernacular, God speaks exactly what it is. Now we get the salvation message in Spanish. Pastor, come up here. I think I'm staying here so we don't have to get that gadget. You know what is marvelous here? You get here electricity 24 hours a day, you know? I really started that. Good.
All right, thank you.
Well,
good morning,
Manos.
Good morning. Nos hemos condenado bajo la pena de muerte, pero Dios ha hecho posible el evitar esta muerte. Él le ofrece libertad y vida eterna con Él mismo como regalo de gracia. Dios Padre envió a su Hijo Jesucristo para sustituirlo y librarlo a usted de la pena de la muerte. La Biblia, la palabra escrita de Dios, dice: porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo que dio a su Hijo unigénito, de que cualquier persona, cualquier que crea en Él, no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. Porque Dios no envió a su Hijo al mundo para juzgar el mundo, sino para que el mundo sea salvo por Él. El que en Él cree no es condenado, pero el que no cree ya ha sido condenado porque no ha creído en el nombre del unigénito Hijo de Dios. Usted es culpable, todos somos culpables, incapaz de salvarnos, pero Él mismo de esta verdad, frente a la muerte, no hay habilidad que usted posea ni obra que puede realizar para poder redimirse. Pero Dios ha provisto el escape a la condenación eterna. El precio por su libertad fue pagado por Jesucristo, el sustituto suyo. cuando murió en la cruz. Usted puede recibir el regalo de la gracia de Dios, de la vida eterna, con un simple acto de fe. Creéis en el Señor Jesucristo y seréis salvos.
Muchas gracias. Es todo para nosotros.
First, for Country Bible Church,
we have the gospel given in France, but we appreciate Huntman, Pastor Javier, and we appreciate yours and your words for us this morning. He gave us a lot to think about, and we are so thankful that the Lord brought him our way and hope that he will bring you back again. We kind of had an ace in the hole, seeing that he has family in Burton. I know that he said that he likes us, but having family in the nearby town, that always helps to get another visit from time to time. Let's please all stand for the closing prayer.
My Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for bringing George and Erica our way. And we pray that you will be with them as they go back on the front lines in Africa and back in Germany. We ask your blessing upon them, upon their entire family,
and the church
there, that it will continue to grow as they receive the absolute truth from. We also pray that you will be with Javier and his ministry in Longview. And we pray that even right here in Brenham, as we are also on the front lines,
but what
truth will penetrate, that you will use us as good ambassadors to give the one who is ready to listen.
Yes.
Will help us to depend more and more upon your faithfulness.
Yes.
Will help us to keep our spiritual momentum moving forward.
And we pray
all these things in the name that is above all names, even Jesus Christ.